need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high until someone hands one to you so you can follow along with us. Again, Philippians chapter 3. We'll be picking up in verse 12. We will also make our way over to Luke chapter 9 towards the end of the chapter. So if you want to bookmark your Bibles there as well, Luke 9 towards the end of that chapter. God bless you. Need to talk about you two as well. Very impressed. Did you guys notice you had some new greeters this morning as you came into the church? I mean, you want to talk about a miracle. They're usually walking in church right about now. Oh. They may never greet again. I mean, oh, love you guys. Once a year, hey. Yeah, in 2016, they'll be up again. I love it. Philippians, let me turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul who penned these words by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would use these scriptures even now in our hearts as we've just read them. We pray, God, that they would become a part of us, that we would catch a vision, that we would catch a desire, a passion that the Apostle Paul had, that we would have that same passion. Lord, to look to the future and strive for great things, that we would not dwell upon the past, but learn from the past. And so I pray that, Lord, as we study your word this morning, that we would find, just as the Apostle Paul did, one thing that we can do to become better Christians, to become better people upon this planet, to be used by you. So God, bless this time. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, life has so many responsibilities. In our lives, we're pulled in so many different directions. Sometimes can become overwhelming. Sometimes can be overbearing. All the responsibilities that you have, maybe as just a parent, or maybe as a business owner, or a teacher, or a doctor, or a lawyer, all these things, there's so many responsibilities that we have in our lives that take our attention. For some, the laundry piles up, the dishes fill the sink, and the responsibilities become overwhelming. And if we listed the things that we have to do on a piece of paper every single day, we could get overwhelmed, wouldn't you agree? Overwhelmed with all the things that must get done and try to juggle these things. And with so many things to accomplish, it's hard to do anything very well. Wouldn't you agree? It becomes difficult. And as I looked at this first message for 2015, this verse just jumped into my heart. It's like Paul had this heart to say, there's one thing I'm going to do. There's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to strive for the goal. I'm going to cross the finish line. His focus, he was singly focused. And I don't know about you, but that excites my spirit. That excites my soul to not have to be worried about a list of 10 or 20 things to do, but just say one thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it well. What if we all this year decided one thing we're going to do better, one thing we're going to work on? Now, listen, I understand there's plenty of things that we can work on, plenty of things that we can do. But if we can be like the Apostle Paul and say, I'm going to strive for one thing, and really his one thing encompasses a lot of things, if you notice it. But that one thing he focused on, that one thing maybe you could focus on this year to be a better Christian, to be a better parent, to be a better boss, to be a better employee, to be a better citizen, to be a better Christian. What would that be for you? What would that be for your life, that one thing that maybe you've thought about before? And, you know, we're in this time of New Year's resolutions, and I'm not one of these New Year resolution guys. New Year's resolutions to me are just setting ourselves up for failure. Now, I also understand the benefit of having goals. I understand the benefit of having a goal and striving for a goal and making a plan to meet that goal. And even if we fall short of the goal, at least we got closer to the goal. Amen? So I'm going to ask you this morning as we look through these scriptures to be thinking, to be contemplating, Lord, what is one thing I could do? What is one thing I could focus on? And maybe by the end of this service, we could boil it down to one thing that's really going to help me, not just in one area of my life, but all areas of my life. Because I believe that's what God wants us to do. Yesterday, I was in my wife's closet. And it's a big closet, so it's not like I was weird just kind of standing in a little closet. It's a big closet. And on this counter was a book, and it was opened. It was bright pink. I mean, it stood out, first thing I saw. And on the pages of this particular book, as I was reading it, really ministered to me. And I want to read those words to you. And it's a quote by, his name is M.H. Clark. But it's just, to me, it grasps the sense of a new year. It grabs the sense of a focus in our hearts and in our lives. And I don't even know if you probably read it, right? I would imagine. She doesn't know what I do. And when I'm in her closet, I'm just checking on things. What? Yeah, I know you're. That's why there's hidden cameras. Okay, the quote. The quote goes like this. If you look closely, carefully, past the challenges, the turns in the road, and all the distractions, you'll notice something. You are doing it. Right now, you are doing it. Despite all the background noise and the challenges and the distractions and the doubts that tell you otherwise, you are doing it. You are creating your beautiful life. Love that. You are traveling in the right direction. Set aside your doubts, quiet the thoughts that say you aren't good enough, important enough, capable enough to begin. Tell them you can't listen because today you trust yourself. Today you believe in your heart. Today you tell the small voice inside you're giving it a chance. Today be bold. Be strong, fight on. And the reason I love this quote is because it encourages us all to look within ourselves and say, there's a strength that's inside of us. There's a strength that's deep down in our hearts, deep down in our souls. And I will suggest that it isn't us, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God to say, I can fight. With the help of God, I can fight on. I can pull through. I can push through. And I believe that in the beginning of a year, now that we've got the holidays behind us, hallelujah, the holidays are behind us, we look to the new year, and we have to continue to step up and fight on. Continue to live a life that has purpose, that has meaning. And when I read this quote just last night, I was like, this is amazing how this works. God is amazing to me. Because it lines up perfectly with what the Apostle Paul says. One thing I do, I forget the past and I press on for the goal. I press on for the future. And some of us this morning need to press on. And maybe you're at your wit's end. Maybe you're at the bottom of your barrel. Maybe you're at the deepest part of a pit right now. But the good news about being at the bottom, there's only one way to go. And that's to be reached by the hand of God and pulled out. To be encouraged, my friends, this morning, that there's one thing that you have to focus on, one thing that you have to do to change in your life that will change the circumstances of your life. How many of us have testimonies and stories of how one thing that happened in our life turned everything around? One little event, one little experience turned everything around on its. Do we not have that hope that that can continue to happen? That God can do that today in your life? The Apostle Paul determined in his life to focus on one thing. One thing. He put all of his attention, he put all of his energy, and he put it into one specific goal. And his goal was to move forward in Christ. And when you think about that one goal, it's a pretty lofty goal, wouldn't you admit? It's a very good goal for all of us to achieve as Christians. Lord, I just want to go forward in you. I want to be in you. I want to do the things that you want me to do. And what, if we would have that one focus, you know how many things in your life that would change? It would change your perspective on your finances. It would change your perspective on your workplace. It would change your perspective on your career. I don't know how much it would help our attitude on our age. I don't know why I'm on this kick, but this is my year. 50 is this year. Yes, yes, 50. Anyways, I don't know why I dwell on that. What's one thing that you can change this year? What's one thing you could work on and become better at? To have that same determination that the Apostle Paul had and said, you know what, I'm going to work on this one thing. Because I don't know about you, but when I have a lot of things to do, I find I can't do anything. I'm paralyzed with overwhelming duties and responsibilities. But as we've all probably been taught by someone, said, well, don't look at the whole list, just look at the first thing and accomplish that first thing. One thing, the Apostle Paul said, put your attention upon that. He said in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a great call. The first thing we all need to realize, and I hate to break it to you at the beginning of the year. I don't want to discourage you. But you have work to do. There's work to be done on all of us. We all stand here before God and say we could be better. And I just love, you know, during this time of year, you see different things, and I've seen so many things on Instagram that say, I'm going to be more inspiring, I'm going to be a better friend, I'm going to be more committed, I'm going to be more present. And it's like, yes, these are great goals to achieve. These are great things to accomplish and to strive for. And if we could just say, God, help us to focus on that one thing, whatever it is. If your one thing is to be a better parent, then be a better parent. Nurture your children. Encourage them in the Lord. Help them with their faith. Help them to use their gifts and their talents to be a great citizen in the world. Be that better parent. Maybe God saved you so that you would be that parent to nurture the next doctor, the next lawyer, the next Billy Graham, the next evangelist, next pastor. We don't know what our children have in store for them. We have hopes for them. We have dreams for them. But what makes them tick? What makes them in their hearts be that person that says, I want to do this thing. I want to become better. We have to constantly keep our hand upon the pulse of what's going on in our lives. Have a very healthy evaluation of where we're at, how we're doing. Are we moving towards God? Are we moving away from God? Am I getting better? Am I getting worse? Striving for those things. Working on those things. See, what he says in verse 12, not that I have already attained. The Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained. I don't know about you. If you've studied the life of the Apostle Paul, he was a pretty amazing man. And him had this ability. I haven't arrived. I haven't been perfected. I press on that I may hold for that which Christ died for me. You are saved. You got saved, yes, so you can go to heaven, but you got saved because your life has a purpose. Can you say out loud, I have a purpose? Believe that. There's a purpose God saved you. Yes, so that you can be in his kingdom. Yes, so that he can love on you. Yes, so you can have a relationship with him. But he saved you so you can make a difference in the world. When I look around this room, I have a very interesting perspective. I see different people, I see different personalities, I see different gifts, I see different talents. And that's what the Bible calls the body of Christ. Everyone's unique, everyone's different, everyone fits in somewhere. And what I love about the Apostle Paul is he doesn't compare himself to others. Why do we do that? Why do we compare ourselves to others? I want to be more like that person, or I'm glad I'm not like that person. It's not right. Paul says, I just compare myself to Christ. I compare myself to the Lord and what I know I can be better at because I haven't arrived. I haven't come to that place. You have a purpose. You have a purpose in life. If your purpose in life is to, I don't know, discover something or be a boss in a corporation that's able to instill ethical practices, what a good thing to have in our world, right? What a great thing to have. What is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you unique? What is your purpose? And what is one thing you can do to achieve that purpose? That's what Paul's saying here. That's what he's saying. See, I heard a story just this last week, and I've struggled with wanting to share this or not, because I know how sometimes this can sound, but a very faithful follower of Jesus Christ, a very successful businessman, who we know, we have a relationship with, was in Las Vegas for the holiday. Within 15 minutes at a slot machine, this man won $120,000 at a slot machine. Now, when I first heard this story, I thought, what's a Christian doing in Vegas? No, I did not think that. The first thing I thought is I don't, and again, I don't know all the details, but the first thing that came to my mind was God's favor upon this man's life. Why? Because I know this man's character. I know his integrity. I know the things that he's done. He's blessed people in my life in ways that he didn't have to do. And I just see God saying, well done. I bless you in that. And I know that sounds like, well, should we all go to Vegas and see if God loves us or not? I mean, God, do you love me? Nope. No. But here's the thing I want us to understand. I know from with every ounce of my being that this man did not go to Vegas to win $120,000. This man did not go to Vegas hoping, I need to make some money so I can pay my mortgage. This man went to Vegas to spend time with his family, to have a good time, and threw a couple coins in a slot machine, and look what happened. And there is no doubt in my mind, and I could be wrong, I've been known to be wrong, but there's no doubt in my mind that he will use that money for the kingdom. And it's like, I see God look at people like that and say, I love your heart, I will bless you in so many ways. And it's not just monetarily. Please don't go away and say, my pastor says we should go to Vegas and see if we should win. I just see God's hand upon this man's life, and I praise God that I know there's going to be a testimony that comes out of it for God's glory. See, I'm not a gambler, but I like to enjoy life. So is there anything wrong with me going to Vegas and putting a couple coins in and just having a good time? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if I go there with $100 saying, it's my last $100, then there's a difference, isn't there? So here we see God's favor upon this man's life because he knows what this man's life and his character is. Maybe God's looking upon you going, you've been faithful. You've been faithful a lot of years, and you haven't really seen the return or the reward yet. But don't worry, my Christian friend. I've got plans for you. Continue to be faithful in your life. Continue to be that person that's willing to go the extra mile in your circle of influence and trust God will reward you one way or another. I believe he will do that. We just need to trust that the way he's going to reward us is the way God wants to reward us. See, you have a choice to make, my friends. It's the beginning of a new year. You have a choice. You can stay the way you are now for the whole year, or you can make choices to make a difference this year, to change this year. What is that? I hope you're writing those. I hope you're writing down some ideas. Maybe I could be better at this. Maybe I could be less this. Or writing these things down, something that God wants you, because you have a choice to make. And then make that choice and move forward. But notice what Paul says. He's down in verse, Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, here's the thing. There's things in Paul's life as he looks back, he goes, I don't really like to think about that. I don't really want to dwell upon that. So Paul makes a decision to say, I'm forgetting those things. I'm forgetting those things in my past, and I'm not dwelling upon them. I'm looking to the future. I'm going to press on for the greater purpose. So what I want us to realize is sometimes we have to make a decision to say, my past was my past. I can't change my past. Learn from your past. Do you hear me? But don't dwell upon your past. Don't let your past drag you down. But here's the other thing that Paul is saying. Not just the bad stuff in our past. Paul had some pretty amazing successes, worldly successes in his past. He was a very wise man. He was very well-trained. He was had a lot of wisdom. He was very religious, very zealous for God. And so he had a lot of accolades in his life before Christ. And what Paul is saying, I'm even putting my past, even my successes behind me. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we can live today in the past. We've all done it, right? Oh, man, years ago when I was in this, my life was so good back then. I wish I could get back there. And we're missing life today because we're wanting to get back there. It happens a lot in Calvary Chapel. When I go to Calvary Chapel conferences and stuff, we talk about the early days of Pastor Chuck and the Jesus movement, and we look back and it's like, yeah, that's great. But we're here today. We're in 2015. We're not in the Jesus movement. We're not there. There may be some hippies around, but there's not a lot of them around, huh? Where are we today? Where is God today? Where does God want us to be today? How does he want us to impact the community, this generation today? And that's not saying compromising truth. That's not saying compromising the way we do things, but we may not do them the way we did in the Jesus movement. And we can very easily want to live in the past, our past successes. I mean, I can think in my past and some of the opportunities that God gave me in certain ministries to serve. Those are sweet times. Those were great times. We saw God move mightily. I'm thankful for those, but I don't dwell upon them. I'm seeking now, God, do a work today. Pour out your spirit on your people today. If there's one thing for me, as the pastor of this church, I'm constantly seeking, is the heartbeat of this church. What is the heartbeat of this church? What is the purpose of this church? What is the vision of this church? And certainly our vision is to encourage believers to engage their faith. Because I want you to lean upon your faith during the week when we're not together, when we're not in a prayer meeting, when we're not at a Bible study. I want you at work to be faithful, to allow your faith to grow. So I'm asking God, what's our vision for 2015? And I believe God is stirring in my heart that the vision for this year is to help people fulfill God's call upon their life. That's what I feel like God is saying for 2015. You have a call upon your life. You have a purpose. That's what we're talking about. And I feel this ministry is here to help you achieve your goal. Help you achieve your God-given purpose upon this world. The challenge for me, the challenge for you, is to figure out what that is. See, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a hat that I put on your head and then it tells me what you want. You have to communicate. You have to show me. You have to serve the Lord in a certain way so I can see what your gifts and talents are. Because I want you to succeed. Because if you succeed, the body of Christ succeeds. We need to really have this heart of family if that's what we are, and to be caring about each other and help each other step up, help each other grow in the Lord. We all need to be looking for those things. Learn from your past. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Wendy, if you could put that up. Paul says to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, again, don't dwell upon the past. Old things are gone, whether they're failures or successes. Now we look to the future. We look to the new things that God wants to do. Does your God dwell in a box? Does your God only operate within your intellect or within your understanding, or can God blow your mind? I want God to blow my mind. I don't want God to just live within the confines that I've set up for him. Well, God wouldn't do that, or God will do that. No, I want God to do whatever he wants to do. And so to allow God to be who he is, and to know that the old things are gone and there's new things that must be done yet. In fact, if you look at verse 7 in this same chapter, should be a page to the left, Philippians 3 and 7, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Even the things that were of benefit in his life, he goes, they were lost to me. All my successes were lost because my focus was on me. Paul's focus is now upon the Lord. Have you ever gotten a trophy or something that for something you've done, you know, bowling trophy, volleyball trophy, whatever trophy, right? They sit on the shelf, right? It's a great reminder of what you accomplished. You know what gets all over those trophies? Dust. And I think that's perfect. I think it's a good thing, a good reminder for us that the dust on my trophy means that was a success I had years ago. What's your new trophy? What's the trophy you're going to get every single day when God says to you, well done, well done, good job today. Way to serve, way to be responsive, way to be sensitive to people at your workplace, way to be sensitive to people in your family or your friends, watching for them. I'm blessed to have people in my life that have their eye on me. Just this morning, a brother came up to me and says, you doing all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. He goes, I just feel like there's some stuff going on. I go, yeah, there is. And you know what blessed me about that? Is that this person had the heart and the determination and the confidence to come to me and say, are you all right? That's a good thing to have in your life, don't you think? But what about you being that person? You being that person watching out for others. Watching. Your spouse, your kids, your friends. They're a little bit different today. Certainly pray for them, but go up and ask them. Go up and talk with them. It was so encouraging. It lifted my spirit just knowing someone saw it. Someone paid attention to it. It's good to have. We need to be those people. Paul says, I press, verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul kind of wraps this thing up. An analogy of running a race. When you run a race, I mean, if you're really running in a race, what's the goal? To get across the finish line first, right? That would be the goal. And to get the prize. You know, the person that comes in fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, they crossed the line. They didn't get any prize, did they? I remember the sensation I had the first time I ran my first 5K. Other than being beat by a woman in my fellowship, I felt pretty good about it. Huh? Yeah. Beat bad. Yes, that's true. I could. Anyways. There's something about crossing the finish line. There's something about accomplishing the goal. And what's so cool about what Paul is saying, he says, I'm pressing forward to get the prize, to meet the goal, to go across the finish line, and to hear my Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant at the end. You know what? First place gets that, second place gets that, 1 millionth place gets that, 2 billionth place gets that, same thing. You're running a race with no other competitors. Do you hear me? You're running a race called your life with no other competitor. Jesus doesn't go, boy, you missed it by a half a second. No. He says, you crossed the finish line. You finished well. Good job. Good. Thank you for being faithful to the very end. Listen, it is so easy to quit. It's so easy to throw in the flag and say, this is too much. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Man, if we quit, if we give up, and I'm not saying there's times that certain things should, but if we're just going to quit because it's too hard, then we don't have a great understanding of our great God. Because our God is amazing. He can change your circumstances. He can change your situation. So I don't know what it is that's maybe holding you back or slowing you down, but this time you need to stand up and press on, push in, push forward, and go for it so that you can cross that line, so that you can get across that finish line and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Go with me to John's Gospel, the 9th chapter. The very last verses in the chapter, picking up in verse 57. Jesus is talking with his disciples. The typical subject that his disciples always like to talk about, who's the greatest in the kingdom. And I want to end with this. Verse 57 says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him," I hear pages. Did I say John? Yeah, see, my brain doesn't work so good. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. Says Luke. I just need to turn and look where I'm going. I hear pages turning. I'm going, someone's confused, and it's probably me. So we'll take that out of the recording, and we'll start. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 57. "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' And look at this. But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" No one, having put their hands to the plow, looking back. No one that looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's why I say, learn from your past. Thank God for your successes that have taught you something. Thank God for your failures because they've also taught you things. But keep your hands upon the plow. Keep your eyes upon the goal. Run your race and get across the finish line. Because those who keep their eyes on the Lord are fit for the kingdom. Amen. And maybe someone in here just happened to get their eyes off the Lord for a time. Maybe you just got a little bit discouraged. There was a little bit of this. Some people are like, 2014, good riddance. Done with you. But their eyes are still upon God. Because, listen, bad things happen to Christians. Tragedy happens to Christians. But we have a hope in God. That as long as we stay close to Him, He won't let anything happen to us that will affect our eternity. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that you would focus on one thing, accomplish that one thing, and if you can get it within a year, praise God. Get across the finish line. Reach the goal. 2015 could be our greatest year, guys. Let's believe it, and let's see God get glory in it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we are excited about the things that you're going to do in this new year. And we, Lord, we know it's not just a new number at the end of our date that changes your heart or changes your will. We know your will is a continuous will. But for us, it's a time for us to kind of reset, refocus. Look back at 2014 and learn some things, but look to 2015 and say, God, stretch us, grow us, use us. For Christians are to always be alive, always be active, always be doing something. And for some, maybe that sounds like, oh, that's tiring. But Lord, doing things for you, as we learned a few weeks ago, your commands are not burdensome. It's a joy to follow you. It's a joy to do what you want us to do. And so I just pray that our focus would be upon you, that we would be encouraged in this message, that we would look to you and you alone to meet our needs, to use our lives. Father, our heart is that more would come to know Jesus, that the lost would be found, that believers would become stronger believers, and that we would just bring glory to you. So as we enter into this time of communion, God, we pray, Let us think about these things. Let us pray about these things. Let us put these things before you that we've looked at in the life of the Apostle Paul. We pray during this time you would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear your voice, God. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.